So Maharaj Cricket, the great king, has asserted his authority upon Kali, who has just entered the kingdom. And Kali's business is basically to bring down religion, to end religion, and promote sinfulness. Because religiosity, even below the highest form of religion, which is pure surrender to Krishna, pure loving, giving oneself to Krishna, Savadam Prityaja, Mame Kam Sharanam Vraja. Even religiosity has its purpose. It keeps society, first of all, from going mad. It keeps the passion that conditioned souls tend to have, the desires that conditioned souls tend to have. It keeps them channeled upward. Passion, following, or desires following religious principles, dharma, will gradually become purified to goodness. Detachment will develop. If one submits himself to the authority of the system, to any authority, practically speaking. And what Kali Yuga's business is, in the removal of religion and the promotion of sinful activities, is to remove all authority, to prove that authority is bad and corrupt, so that no one should follow authority. Historically analyze all ancient scriptures, prove that they were made by some men for some purpose, show how the creation of the universe cannot take place according to what the Shastras say, rather it takes place according to what the priests, contemporary priests, the scientists say. And what do they say? The scientists, they say a different thing every 6 months or so.
Really?
There was just recently, there was a, maybe 6 months ago, some professor published a theory that the universe is eternal, meaning that it has a continuous sequence of creations and destructions, of creations and destructions. And everyone went, wow. Wonderful. But this is just what the Bhagavad Gita says, and it's been saying for thousands and thousands of years. But someone else will refute that. No, it's just expand and then collapse into a great singularity where everything just enters into all matter, is pulled into this intensely, unlimitedly dense point, and it's just sucked right into this black hole. But what happens to it when it goes into that? Where does it come out? No answer. Different theory. Different theory continuously. But don't believe the Shastra. Don't believe the holy people, Kali explains. Don't live according to any regulation. You're evolving. You're advancing. If you heed to the past, that will stop advancement. Break free. Do as you like. Do it now. Don't protect cows. Rather, kill cows and feed chopped up cows to other cows. And that way you won't have to worry about rain. Do anything, everything. Dye your hair yellow, green, red, then you'll be happy. Did you ever see a happy person with green hair? But this is Kali whispering in everyone's ear, do this, do that, and if that doesn't work, try this, this is even better. horrible degradation. And in that way, by relinquishing the authority of Shastra, instead of the passion breeding detachment and ultimately goodness, rather fulfilling one's desires in these concocted non-Shastric ways makes everyone a fool, ignorant, mad, crazy. And then by acting in further ignorance, one gets more deeply in ignorance. This is Kali Yuga, deeper and deeper and deeper ignorance. More efficient ways to kill. Only 150 years ago, not in ancient history, it would be the armies that fight and get killed. There was no this bombing of cities and killing civilians, innocent civilians. Very recent gift of Kali Yuga, bringing terror to everyone. And everyone is in fact terrorized. Diseases, horrible diseases, terrifying diseases. Yes, we are making advancement. Don't worry. We'll solve all problems, say the sign. This is Kali Yuga. Just send us all your money, basically. So Kali's first business was to kill the cows, low-class administrators, destroy religious principles. These three principles, first three things, were mentioned by Srila Prabhupada in the purports in the beginning of the chapter. Now, Maharaj Prickett is speaking to the bull. We've heard a few of the verses in reply to the bull saying, I cannot identify who has broken my legs. So Maharaj Prickett continues in text 24, in the age of satya, truthfulness, the golden age, your four legs were established by the four principles of austerity, cleanliness, mercy, and truthfulness. But it appears that three of your legs are broken due to rampant irreligion in the form of pride, lust for women, and intoxication. We'll read from some of Prabhupada's purport. By cultural understanding, because those qualities, the qualities of austerity, cleanliness, mercy, mercifulness, and truthfulness, these are the pillars of religious life. They are not exactly the perfection of religion, but religious life rests upon these. Austerity, mercy, mercifulness, compassion, truthfulness, and cleanliness. Cleanliness being next to godliness. So Kali's business is to ruin or remove these from society. Pride, lust for women, intoxication. So these elevate one, the austerity, cleanliness, mercy, and truthfulness. And the others, born of ignorance, degrade. Prabhupada explains about a third of the way for the purport, this purport, 224. By cultural standing, the human beings were not at all subjected to the deluding energy. This is speaking about such strong men of character were competent enough to get away from the clutches of Maya. So there was always Maya, but a person who was strong, strongly habituated to cleanliness, mercy, truthfulness, and austerity, the deluding energy, even of Kali Yuga, will not affect him. Because they had character, integrity. And this is just what is lacking in the world today. Of course, on the highest level, love of God is lacking. But its character, integrity are the principles on which that will stand or sit. But it is not found today, even in the leaders of society. Indeed, if someone says, I want to be a politician immediately, or I am a politician immediately, you don't trust them. Immediately. You're wondering, Oh, bribery. What criminal actions are you performing? This is Kali's work, so successfully done. Low-class person, people of no integrity and character, placed in public office, and therefore just ruling whimsically, mostly to gain money and whatever for themselves. But strong men of character were competent, because one has to have character. One has to value something more than the temporary pleasures of this world to be able to resist the lure of the offering of those pleasures which come to politicians. One has to value something beyond the temporary, beyond the sensual. Otherwise, how will one resist? That is called the ability to resist. Valuing something more is called character and integrity. I stick to my principles. No, this may be bring me some gain if I accept this, but no, my principle is not to. I don't care what is offered. I don't care. I won't accept it. A Kshatriya would even rather be killed himself than turn down a plea for protection or run from the battlefield. This is integrity. This is character. It means they're steady, they're reliable, and that is not what the current leaders offer, and therefore no one trusts them. So such strong men of character were competent enough to get away from the clutches of Maya. They said, no, I will not compromise this principle. But gradually, as the basic principles of Brahminical culture, namely austerity, cleanliness, mercy, and truthfulness, become curtailed by proportionate development of pride, attachment for women, and intoxication, the path of salvation or the path of transcendental bliss retreated far, far away from human society. Now there is no standard as to what is good and what is bad, just the whim of the contemporary leader. With the progression of the age of Kali, people are becoming very proud and attached to women and intoxication. By the influence of the age of Kali, even a pauper is proud of his penny. The women are always dressed in an overly attractive fashion to victimize the minds of men. And the man is addicted to drinking wine, smoking, drinking tea, and chewing tobacco, etc. And the etceteras in this age just get worse and worse and worse. All these habits, or so-called advancement of civilization, just see, Prabhupada is so strong and sarcastic. This is advancement in civilization. These habits, which are simply degradation, that no cultured man, no highly qualified man or woman would engage in. This is the standard of advancement. To join a big company, a prestigious company, or to become a politician, you have to drink, you have to socialize, you have to do horrible things. You have to, you can't avoid it. If you want to rub shoulders, if you want to be deal with these people, they force you to do it culturally. So degraded, so innocence is completely seduced away. Unless one has such firm character. All these habits or so-called advancement of civilization are the root causes of all irreligiosities, and therefore it is not possible to check corruption, bribery, and nepotism. So Prabhupada wrote this in 1964, probably around that time. So how much worse has it become now as Kali has progressed still further? So people want to keep all their vices, the illicit sex, the gambling, the intoxication, the meat eating, yet they want society to be clean and uncorrupt. They want full, unlimited sense gratification, and at the same time, they want everyone to be honest and upstanding and moral, and they want the children to refrain from horrible things until they're a certain age. But the children say, why should I? Your principle is sense gratification. Why shouldn't mine? Naturally. And therefore they reject. Man cannot check all these evils simply by statutory acts and police vigilance. But he can cure the disease of the mind. Because in the mind sits the desires for these things. By the proper medicine. Namely, advocating the principles of Brahminical culture, all the principles of austerity, cleanliness, mercy, and truthfulness. Prabhupada explains that this is a secular state. This is the government's job to ensure that every person follows these religious principles. And we'll hear later some of the things, the practical recommendations he makes for the state. So Maharaj Prakrit continues to speak to the bull and the cow, religiousness and the earth, Bhumi. You are now standing on one leg only, and this is all that holds Kali at bay. Because when Kali breaks the final leg, and what is that final leg? Everything falls. Everything falls, and Kali works hard to break that. So it really behooves, unless there is a extreme, unless Krishna specifically wants us not to be truthful, it behooves all the devotees to carry out all four of the principles of religion, and especially this truthfulness. Why? Because if we don't act truthfully, especially amongst ourselves, but not only amongst ourselves, but especially amongst ourselves, we won't trust each other. And then if we can't trust the devotees, then where will we go? What will we do if we don't have trust for the devotees? If we're fearing all the time, oh, this one's going to cheat me, and this devotee's going to do this, and this devotee's going to do that to me, then where will we go? How will we be safe? Because association is everything. As Prabhupada once told me, that if we don't make friendship with the devotees, we will be forced, because we are social by nature, to make friendship with non-devotees, and then we will not be able to follow the principles. So how important that the dealings amongst the devotees be very, very sweet. Prabhupada also said about himself, because he had chastised so heavily in front of so many people, chastised a Mayavadi speaker. But then when he was back, this was in Japan, in his room, he was just so gentle, almost like a pussycat purring. A kitten, almost. And he said, when I am out, I am like a lion. But when I'm home, I'm like a lamb. This is hard to do. We tend to either be lambs wherever we go or lions wherever we go. When we're out preaching, we have to be strong like a lion. But when in dealing with the devotees at home, we have to be very gentle, like a lamb, like lambs. So Kali will beat this leg of truthfulness, beat it until it breaks. That is the mission of Kali. And then Kali will run rampant completely. Prabhupada, we'll read the few parts, short parts of Prabhupada's purport to text 25. The principles of religion do not stand on some dogmas or man-made formulas, but they stand on four primary regulative observances, namely austerity, cleanliness, mercy, and truthfulness. One time someone asked Prabhupada why we shave our heads, a reporter asked that, and Prabhupada's reply was, because it is clean. Of course, at different times he's answered in different ways that question. But because it is clean, and cleanliness is next to godliness, it keeps one, cleanliness keeps one in the mode of goodness. Clean outside through bathing, and clean inside by how? How often? 16 rounds, okay, finished. No. This is really what we want to do. Chant Krishna's names constantly. If we feel that we lack shelter or we want shelter, take up this practice. Constantly chanting Krishna's names. Prabhupada continues later in the purport. We have to see things by the resultant action. Because contemporary civilization, everyone is convinced that we're advancing. But look, practically speaking, at the result. Are people more wealthy? This is what Prabhupada said. No one has independent intelligence nowadays. Completely victimized by the propaganda, the newspaper propaganda, the radio, the movies, the this, the that. Completely brainwashed, actually. Is society advancing? Well, what standard do you use for advancement? Is it, okay, you could say, well, the standard for advancement is computers and technology. And yes, in that sense, society is advancing. But are people happy, happier? Are they peaceful? Are they less in anxiety? Are they more wealthy? Previously, at least in the West, the husbands would work and the wife would be home. But now, previously? Oh, yes. But previously, the man would work and earn bread, the daily bread, and the wife would stay home, take care of the house, cleanliness, cooking, this and that. And okay, we've progressed much past that. Freedom for the women to also work 8 hours a day and slave away. How wonderful. What advancement. And actually, everyone is more in debt. Two people are working. This is the tendency. The children tend to go to the daycare center. This is in the West. And both husband and wife tend to work, both have careers, and still in debt, and terrified of criminals, trying to always hide their money from the taxation department. Such fear, afraid of this disease, afraid of the partner being unchaste, divorce. The children are always afraid because they're friends. And now the kids, they go to school and there's been so much... kids go to school some kid shoots everyone else. Crazy! Completely insane. And yet, everyone is... Yes, we are making advancement because now... We have computers, we can go on the World Wide Web and download anything, at any age. Advancement. The resultant action of human civilization in the age of Kali is dissatisfaction. So everyone is anxious to get peace of mind. This peace of mind was complete in the Satya age because of the existence of the above-mentioned attributes of the human being. Just imagine if you say to people, everyone complains, no peace, whether they're successful or unsuccessful. No peace of mind. So if you said to people, okay, if you want to be peaceful, austerity, cleanliness, mercifulness, and truthfulness, who would accept that? What to speak of telling just chant Hare Krishna and cleanse your heart? Because this gets in the way of what they consider the purpose of life, the enjoyments of life. So gradually these attributes have diminished in the Treta Yuga to 3/4, in the Dwapara to 1/2, and in this age of Kali to 1/4, which is also gradually diminishing on account of prevailing untruthfulness. By pride, either artificial or real, the resultant action of austerity is spoiled. By too much addiction for female association, and the male is Maya for the female, and the female is Maya for the male, like magnets. There's a tendency towards trouble, so therefore have to be quite careful of this one. By too much affection for female association, cleanliness is spoiled. By too much addiction to intoxication, mercy is spoiled. And by too much lying propaganda, truthfulness is spoiled. The revival of Bhagavad Dharma. What does Bhagavad Dharma mean? I only heard was glorification of God. What else? What does Bhagavad Dharma mean? Krishna consciousness, devotional service, Sanatan Dharma, Vanasham Dharma, and? Yes, following Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhakti Yoga, Prema Dharma, yes. What else? In simple terms. Yeah, but action to please Krishna. Huh? Putting Krishna again in the center, that is Bhagavad Dharma. No more me in the center. Sarvadhamam Pratyaja, that is Bhagavad Dharma. Sarvadhamam Pratyaja, Mamekam Sharanam Raja. The revival of Bhagavad Dharma can save human civilization from falling prey to evils of all descriptions. Because how can anyone have character and integrity if all they value is of this world? It's just a matter of finding out what price they will sell their soul for. That's all. Only if one values Krishna deeply enough above everything in the material world can one actually be a man of character, be a person of character. If one has affections for the material world, cannot. Continuing, text 26. The burden of the earth was certainly diminished by the personality of Godhead and by others as well, like Arjuna. Krishna used Arjuna. When he was present as an incarnation, he's speaking to the earth, Bhumi Devi. All good was performed because of his auspicious footprints. Now she, the chaste one, being unfortunately forsaken by the personality of Godhead, laments her future with tears in her eyes, for now she is being ruled and enjoyed by lower class men who pose as rulers. Last line of Prabhupada's purport. And in the absence of a suitable king to curb irreligious tendencies, educating the people systematically in teaching of Srimad Bhagavatam will clear up the hazy atmosphere of corruption, bribery, blackmail, etc. This is something that ISKCON, the devotees, can actually do. Because when we think of what can I do to change the society and end all the sinfulness, maybe we'll think, oh, I should blow up slaughterhouses and assassinate leaders or something. No. We shouldn't do these kind of things. But this is something we can actually do. Legally, actually. It is our duty to do this. To educate people in the principles of Srimad Bhagavatam systematically. What does systematically mean? Huh? Step by step, following the process. Huh? In? And all spheres, yes. On that way too, yes. On all parts of society. I hadn't thought of that, yes. For me, yes, very good. Yeah. Yes. What end in mind? Unless one has a glimpse of that, how can one, at least a glimpse of that is the goal, how can one refrain from being captured by the material energy? This was explained, Srila Prabhupada said this in regard to the renunciant. Unless one is convinced of a better life, and deeply convinced, because Maya will have its lures, how can one resist or continue in renunciation unless one is convinced of a better life that comes due to the renunciation? So Maharaj Prickett thus finished his words to them, and then he turned to Kali in a very dramatic way by pulling out his sword. Maharaj Prickett, this is text 28, who could fight 1,000 enemies single-handedly, he was a Maharata, thus pacified the personality of religion and the earth. Then he took up his sharp sword to kill the personality of Kali, who is the cause of all irreligion. So Prabhupada, we'll read Prabhupada's purport here. Again, speaking strongly about Kali's influence and the corruption, etc. Purport. As described above, the personality of Kali is he who deliberately commits all kinds of sinful acts which are forbidden in the revealed scriptures. Well, how many personalities of Kali are there then? It's about 5 billion. Basically, yeah, everyone is carrying this Kali energy. So lost, taken over by it. It's like a ghost practically. Not that they're happy by it, but this is how they act. This age of Kali will certainly be full of all activities of Kali, but this does not mean that the leaders of society, the executive heads, the learned and intelligent men, or above all the devotees of the Lord, should sit down tightly and become callous to the reactions of the age of Kali. In the rainy season, so Kali is going to come. Kali Yuga is here and it's going to come. But should we just watch and say, well, you can't do anything about it? It's Kali Yuga, Prabhupada saying no. In the rainy season, certainly there will be profuse rainfalls, but that does not mean that men should not take means to protect themselves from the rains. It is the duty of the executive head of state and others to take all necessary actions against the activities of Kali or the persons influenced by the age of Kali. And Maharaj Prickett is the ideal executive head of the state. For at once he was ready to kill the personality of Kali with his sharp sword. There's so many horrible people who simply don't care. They want to make money. And they don't care how and what the result will be. They'll sell they'll sell drugs that will kill people. They'll sell it in schools. They advertise smoking. They target the children for these things. Can you imagine? And then they put chemicals. This is what they did. They were just caught doing this a few years ago. The biggest cigarette companies, powerful. They put chemicals, additives to addict people further. And they advertise to the children. They specifically target youth for their brand because then they think they have them for their whole life. And the people with the heavy, heavy addictive drugs, and they just send it out to the streets, and the child pornographers. What consciousness these people have. They're demons. There's no other way around it. They're actually demons. And Maharaj Prickett knows how to deal with them. And it's not, oh, you have to feel sorry because they're culturally deprived and they had a rough, difficult upbringing. Oh, society has wronged them and therefore they should be excused and dealt liberally and given another chance and another chance and another chance. No. Off with their head. And then the innocent people, but we shouldn't do that. We should teach the Bhagavatam. And then the innocent people don't get sucked into these horrors. If they see, they become afraid. No, I don't want to be like that. I don't want that to happen to me. So Prabhupada explains, Maharaj Prickett is the ideal executive head of the state, and at once he was ready to kill the personality of Kali with his sharp sword. The king should do it. Then you respect such a person and you fear such a person. The administrator should not simply pass resolutions for anti-corruptional steps, but they must be ready with sharp swords to kill the persons creating corruptions from the angle of vision of the recognized Shastra. The administrators cannot prevent corrupt activities by allowing wine shops. They must at once close all shops of intoxicating drugs and wine and force punishment even by death for those who indulge in habits of intoxication of all description. That is the way of stopping the activities of Kali as exhibited herein by Maharaj Prickett, the Maharata, powerful warrior. 29. When the personality of Kali understood that the king was willing to kill him and able, he at once abandoned the dress of a king. He took off his false dress, the embroidered gold robes that he was wearing, and he stood as he was, a low-class person, in front of the king with folded hands. Under pressure of fear, he completely surrendered to Maharaj Prickett, bowing his head. Maharaj Prickett, who was qualified to accept surrender and worthy of being sung in history, did not kill the poor surrendered and fallen Kali, but smiled compassionately, for he was kind to the poor. So no one, if Maharaj Prickett wanted to kill someone, no one, no matter who it is, was safe. No corrupt person was safe. But as soon as he surrendered, then Maharaj Prickett refused to kill him. Now, this is what the king said. We have inherited the fame of Arjun. Therefore, since you have surrendered yourself with folded hands, you need not fear for your life. But you cannot remain in my kingdom, for you are the friend of irreligion. If the personality of Kali, irreligion, is allowed to act as a man god or an executive head, certainly irreligious principles like greed, falsehood, robbery, incivility, treachery, misfortune, cheating, and quarrel and vanity will abound. Therefore, O friend of irreligion, you do not deserve to remain in a place where experts perform sacrifices according to truth and religious principles for the satisfaction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In all sacrificial ceremonies, although sometimes a demigod is worshipped, the Supreme Lord, Personality of Godhead, is worshipped because he is the supersoul of everyone and exists both inside and outside like air. Thus it is he only who awards all welfare to the worshipper. We'll read some of the purports from that. So you cannot remain in my kingdom. Okay, you've surrendered, but you cannot act in your irreligious way in my domain, because I will be here with my sword. And as soon as you break this, you will be killed. You've surrendered, and that means you will desist from acting in this way in my kingdom. From Prabhupada's purport to 31. The personality of Kali, who is the friend of all kinds of irreligiosities, may be excused if he surrenders, but in all circumstances he cannot be allowed to live as a citizen in any part of a welfare state. The Pandavas were entrusted representatives of the personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna, who practically brought into being the battle of Kurukshetra. Why did he do that? To establish Yudhisthira Maharaj, a proper king who was personification of religion. So he practically caused this battle of Kurukshetra to bring that specific result. So he wanted an ideal king like Maharaj Yudhisthira and his descendants, like Maharaj Prickett, to rule the world. And therefore, a responsible king like Maharaj Prickett could not allow the friend of irreligiosity to flourish in his kingdom at the cost of the good fame of the Pandavas. That is the way of wiping out corruption in that state and not otherwise. The friends of irreligiosity should be banished from the state, and that will save the state from corruption. 32, Prabhupada's purport. The principles of religion, namely austerity, cleanliness, mercy, and truthfulness, as we have already discussed, may be followed by the follower of any faith. There is no need to turn from Hindu to Mohammedan to Christian or some other faith and thus become a renegade and not follow the principles of religion. The Bhagavatam religion urges following the principles of religion. The principles of religion are not the dogmas or regulative principles of a certain faith. Such regulative principles may be different in terms of time and place concerned. One has to see whether the aims of religion have been achieved. Sticking to the dogmas and formulas without attaining the real principles is not good. So the real principle and purpose of religion is prema paramarto mahan. And on a lower level, it is this, cleanliness, austerity, truthfulness, and mercy. And saying I'm a member of this religion or that religion, whatever the religion is, without at least following these principles, is hypocrisy and irreligious. So Prabhupada is stressing that. And therefore, when Prabhupada would speak to Christians, I've never heard him one time having to speak to an Islamic follower, a Muslim, a Mohammedan. But to Christians, he would say, immediately, why are you not following your Bible? Why are you killing? It says, thou shalt not kill. Why are you being merciless to the poor animals? You're compassionate to humans, but you slaughter the animals? Don't you hear them crying? One time, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur saw one of the Jati Gosai in Nabadweep carrying a fish. They carry them by the gills. And he crossed the street and said, you are so heartless. Where is your mercy? You're a Goswami? A follower of Mahaprabhu? Where is your mercifulness? Oh, I like the taste. Well, how about if someone likes the taste of you? How would you like it if they eat you? How would you like it? And if people, when they see you, they immediately want to kill you and eat you. Just imagine. That's what it's like being an animal in Kali Yuga. One time when I was in Hong Kong, I thought I was going to put together a slideshow. And I took pictures around the city years and years ago when I was younger and more, idealistic. Yes, hopeful, maybe too, less cynical. So I took pictures of horrible meat hanging, horrible, all over the city. It's hanging like that everywhere. And did you ever hear the expression, carrying someone piggyback? English expression, maybe only American. But I found out in Hong Kong where it comes from. When they carry the dead pigs on their back from one place to another. You have seen? So I took pictures of all these horrible things, and there were some people, some of the guests, and I showed these pictures. And I said, how do you feel after seeing that? And one replied, We just get hungry. And I thought, oh no, I should try something. Let's chant Hare Krishna. And you see it then, if you walk around Hong Kong, the restaurants look like zoos. Yes, yes. The fish there, they take lobsters while they're still alive. Can you imagine what kind of a heart you have to? And they tie them up with a special kind of grass, and then they put them alive into boiling water or something. And can you imagine? Can you imagine? It's heartbreaking. So when they see creatures, they want to kill them. They want to eat them. No wonder there is so much reaction for this and so much war. And people seeing others of a different faith in certain parts of the world or a different nationality. There's so much hatred. So much envy. That's what it is, envy. That soon as they see a person like that, they'll kill them of a different group. This is all where it springs from. Where is the mercifulness? So whatever religion you follow, you should see, of course, whether you're developing love for Krishna, and also whatever, you have to follow these principles. This is the commonality between all religion: truthfulness, austerity, mercifulness, and cleanliness. And the absence of these is simply demonic, as it's described in the 16th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. From Prabhupada's purport to text 33, there are different, this is about a third of the way down, there are different countries in different parts of the world. And each and every country may have different types of sacrifices to please the Supreme Lord. But the central point in pleasing Him is ascertained in the Bhagavatam, and it is what? It is pleasing Him, collector, yes. Truthfulness. The basic principle of religion is truthfulness. And the ultimate goal and the basic principle of Kali is lying and falsehood. You just buy this and you'll be happy. If you do this, you'll be happy. If you kill this animal, you'll be happy. If you try to enjoy me, you'll be happy. If you let me elect me, you'll be happy. It's all lies. The basic principle of Kali is falsehood. The basic principle of religion is truthfulness. In this age of Kali, the greatest common formula of sacrifice is the Sankirtan Jagya. That is the opinion of the experts who know how to propagate the process of Jagya. Lord Chaitanya preached this method of Jagya, and it is understood from this verse that the sacrificial method of Sankirtan Jagya may be performed anywhere and everywhere in order to drive away the personality of Kali and save human society from falling prey to the influence of the age. So therefore Mahaprabhu said, Amara Agaya Guru Haya Tare Desh. Everyone, become guru, and everyone in your family, and with your friends, in your neighborhood, or throughout the world, it doesn't make a difference according to one's position and capacity, become guru and deliver the Hare Krishna mantra, the holy names, and the teachings of Bhagavad Gita. Amara Agyai Guru Haya Tare Desh. It is only Krishna who is worshipped in all sacrifice, only God, regardless of demigods being worshipped, it's only He who is actually being worshipped. He awards all welfare to the worshippers. So then Kali, ordered by Maharaj Prickett to cease and desist in 35, and he saw the king before him with his sword. He was trembling in fear, and he spoke to the king as follows. Practically, he said, you may as well kill me now, because wherever I go in your kingdom, I can only do one thing, irreligious things. So you're saying you'll spare me, but I have nowhere to live, because wherever I do my irreligious things, you will be there with your sword in hand to kill me. I shall see you with bow and arrows wherever I look. Therefore, O chief amongst the protectors of religion, please fix some place for me where I can live permanently under the protection of your government. Prabhupada's short purport. The personality of Kali addressed Maharaj Prickett as the chief amongst the protectors of religiosity, because the king refrained from killing a person who surrendered unto him. This is such a wonderful purport. A surrendered soul should be given all protection, even though he may be an enemy. So he is great for not killing Kali, Maharaj Prickett is. That is the principle of religion. And we can just imagine what sort of protection is given by the personality of Godhead to the person who surrenders unto him, not as an enemy, but as a devoted servant, servitor. The Lord protects the surrendered soul from all sins and all resultant reactions of sinful acts. Bhagavad Gita, 1866. Just imagine, then, how kind and merciful and protective is Krishna to one who surrenders to him. Suta Goswami said, Maharaj Prickett, thus being petitioned by the personality of Kali, gave him permission to reside in places where gambling, drinking, prostitution, and animal slaughter were performed. We'll read from parts of Prabhupada's purport here. The basic principles of irreligiosity, such as pride, prostitution, intoxication, and falsehood, counteract the four principles of religion, namely austerity, cleanliness, mercy, and truthfulness. The personality of Kali was given permission to live in four places particularly mentioned by the king, namely the place of gambling, the place of prostitution, the place of drinking, and the place of animal slaughter. Kali lives there. From about halfway, less than halfway through the purport, we'll read what Prabhupada's instructions to a state are. Following in the footsteps of Maharaj Prickett, it is the duty of all executive heads of state to see that the principles of religion, namely austerity, cleanliness, mercy, and truthfulness, are established in the state, and the principles of irreligion, namely pride, illicit female association or prostitution, intoxication, and falsity, are checked by all means. And to make the best use of a bad bargain, the personality of Kali may be transferred to the places of gambling, drinking, prostitution, and slaughterhouses, if there are any places like that. Those who are addicted to these irreligious habits may be regulated by the injunctions of the scriptures. In no circumstances should they be encouraged by any state, either directly or indirectly. Indirectly by all the advertisements to encourage people to do this, psychologically manipulative advertisements at that, or where the government taxes these things and therefore subtly they want them to flourish so that they make more money in that way. In other words, the state should categorically stop all sorts of gambling, drinking, prostitution, and falsity. The state which wants to eradicate corruption by majority may introduce the principles of religion in the following manner. So, to remove irreligiosity, which is like darkness, religiosity, which is like light, should be introduced. So, three plus principles. 2 compulsory fasting days in a month, if not more, austerity. That strengthens the mind, which allows one to have integrity. Even from the economic point of view, such 2 fasting days in a month in the state will save tons of food And the system will also act very favorably on the general health of the citizens. Two, there must be compulsory marriage of young boys and girls attaining 24 years of age and 16 years of age, respectively. There's no harm in coeducation in the schools and colleges, provided the boys and girls are duly married. And in case there is any intimate connection between a male and female student, they should be married properly without illicit relation. The Divorce Act is encouraging prostitution, and this should be abolished. Three. Just imagine if you were running for an office. The first thing we would do, you would give a speech, is abolish all, have two fasting days a month. And no gambling. And no, and everyone, how many votes would you get? Only the devotees would vote for you. Is this practical, Prabhu? Well, bring your questions to Srila Prabhupada. The citizens of the state must give in charity up to 50% of their income. Well, the devotees wouldn't vote for you. Okay, now it's clear. For the purpose of creating a spiritual atmosphere in the state or in human society, both individually and collectively, they should preach the principles of Bhagavatam by A, karma yoga, or doing everything for the satisfaction of the Lord. B, regular hearing of the Srimad Bhagavatam from authorized persons or realized souls. C, chanting of the glories of the Lord congregationally at home or in places of worship. D, rendering all kinds of service to Bhagavatas engaged in preaching Srimad Bhagavatam. And E, residing in a place where the atmosphere is saturated with God consciousness. If the state is regulated by the above process, naturally there will be God consciousness everywhere. Gambling of all descriptions, even speculative business enterprise, is considered to be degrading. And when gambling is encouraged in the state, there's a complete disappearance of truthfulness. Allowing young boys and girls to remain unmarried more than the above mentioned ages and licensing animal slaughterhouses of all descriptions should be at once prohibited. The flesh eaters may be allowed to take flesh as mentioned in the scriptures and not otherwise. Intoxication of all descriptions, even smoking cigarettes, chewing tobacco, or the drinking of tea must be prohibited. There's so much can be said about these things, but we won't at this point. 39. I'll just one read. So Kali was feeling great trouble because these things did not exist in Kali's kingdom. There was no place for him to reside, even in Maharaj Prickett's kingdom. Even after having been given these four things, there was still no place for him to reside. Therefore, text 39, the personality of Kali asked for something more. And because of his begging, the king gave him permission to live where there is gold, because wherever there is gold, there is also falsity, intoxication, lust, envy, and enmity. And this point is very important for the devotees. Be careful of this one. Be careful of accumulation of too much wealth, of wealth. And what to do about that, Prabhupada will tell us. Although Maharaj Prickett gave Kali permission to live in four places, it was very difficult for him to find the places, because during the reign of Maharaj Prickett, there were no such places. Therefore, Kali asked the king to give him something practical which could be utilized for his nefarious purposes. Maharaj Prickett thus gave him permission to live in a place where there is gold, because wherever there is gold, there are all the above mentioned four things, and over above them there is enmity also. So the personality of Kali became gold standardized. According to Srimad Bhagavatam, gold encourages falsity, intoxication, prostitution, envy, and enmity. So what to do about this? Text 41. Therefore, whoever, that means anyone who desires progressive well-being, especially kings, religionists, public leaders, brahmanas, and sannyasis, should never come in contact with the four above-mentioned irreligious principles. Prabhupada's purport, we'll read from it. If a brahmana is not truthful, all his claims as a brahmana at once become null and void. If a sannyasi is illicitly connected with women, all his claims as a sannyasi at once becomes false. Similarly, if the king and the public leader are unnecessarily proud or habituated to drinking and smoking, certainly they become disqualified to discharge public welfare activities. When there was at one time, and there was a political party started by the devotees in the United States, it was called In God We Trust. Also Australia, Prabhupada stopped it, actually. But when one devotee, Subhavati, was asked what would the first thing he would do if he was elected, he said, "I would close the bar in Parliament, because how could you run the country if you're intoxicated?" Brilliant answer, actually. And he did get some votes, actually. Huh? No, this was in Australia, Subhavati. That was his answer. The first thing we would do is close the bar in Parliament. How could you run the country if you're intoxicated? Right? How could you run the country? How could you vote for a person who is going to pass drink as he passes laws? How will he know what's right? He's intoxicated. You want someone who is sober, obviously. Truthfulness is the basic principle of all religions. The four leaders of the human society, namely the sannyasis, the brahmin, the king, and the public leader, must be tested crucially by their character and qualification. Before one can be accepted as a spiritual or material master of society, he must be tested by the above-mentioned criteria of character. But what to do about this gold problem? If wealth, gold, causes enmity and envy, and Kali enters through it, what to do about that? Text 42. Thereafter, the king, after chastising Kali and banishing Kali to those places, he reestablished the lost legs of the personality of religion. If I was elected, the first thing I'd do is stop that banging out there. And by encouraging activities, he sufficiently improved the condition of the world, of the earth. From Prabhupada's purport, people of the world are generally in darkness regarding spiritual knowledge, especially in regard to the devotional service of the Lord. And therefore, to propagate the systematic transcendental knowledge of devotional service is the greatest mercy that one can show in this world. When everyone is taught to sacrifice 50% of his accumulated gold for the Lord's service, certainly austerity, cleanliness, and mercy automatically ensue. And thus the lost three legs of the personality of religion are automatically established. When there is sufficient austerity, cleanliness, mercy, and truthfulness, naturally Mother Earth is completely satisfied, and there is very little chance for Kali to infiltrate the structure of human society. There's one comment by Jiva Goswami on the 39th verse. He says, he confirms that Kali resides anywhere that gold is not used for religious purposes. He also comments in on 40, text 42. The Maharaj Pariksit dispelled Kali by allowing gold to be used for religious purposes. So Kali was given that, as well as the places of intoxication, gambling, etc. So practically there was no place of intoxication, gambling, prostitution, etc. And he gave gold, the place of gold. But how did he stop Kali there? He ensured that gold was always used for religious purposes, and Kali was cheated again. Text 43 and 44. The most fortunate Emperor Maharaj Pariksit, who was entrusted with the kingdom of Hastinapur by Maharaj Yudhisthira when Maharaj Yudhisthira desired to retire to the forest, is now ruling the world with great success due to his being glorified by the deeds of the kings of the Kuru dynasty. So this is Sutta Goswami speaking to the sages of Namasharanya. He's speaking the Srimad Bhagavatam, which takes place, the speaking of the Bhagavatam takes place after Maharaj Pariksit has renounced the world, but yet it says that he's now ruling the world. He's actually has left this world, but he uses the term now. He uses the present tense, and acharyas have commented on this point. Because when Sutta was speaking, because he heard this, Sutta Goswami was speaking this to the sages of Namasharanya. He heard Maharaj Pariksit. He was present when Maharaj Pariksit was speaking to, Sukadeva Goswami was speaking to Maharaj Pariksit. So he was envisioning all this. And it was in his mind as if Maharaj Pariksit was before him. So in his mind, he was thinking he's now ruling the world. And also, he was now ruling the world through his son, Dhanmanjaya. And there was another reason, but I can't remember it. But actually, physically, Maharaj Pariksit had already left the world when this was being spoken, even though the present tense is used here. Prabhupada's purport, about a third of the way down. We can still purge. So Prabhupada again and again and again in his purports pushes these points because it's so hard to preach while society is in such a corrupt, chaotic condition, while Kali is so prominent, while the values of Kali are the standards. It's so hard to preach what to speak of, develop prema bhakti. The children born nowadays are immediately so corrupted by the television, by the movies, by the music, by everything. So it's so hard for them to grow up purely. So therefore, there are certain places in the Bhagavatam, this being one of them, where it speaks so much and pointedly about how to administer the state from the field of a pure state, then nice flowers can grow and be offered to Krishna. But when the field of the state has been ruined by salt, nothing grows properly. So similarly, society nowadays is poisoned, and everyone is crippled. So therefore, very strong preaching by Prabhupada. We can still purge out from the state all the activities of immorality introduced by the personality of Kali if we are determined to take action like Maharaj Pariksit. He allotted some places for Kali, but in fact Kali could not find such places in the world at all, because Maharaj Pariksit was strictly vigilant to see that there were no places for gambling, drinking, prostitution, and animal slaughter. Modern administrators want to banish corruption from the state, but fools as they are, they do not know how to do it. They want to issue licenses for gambling houses, wine, and other intoxicating drug houses, brothels, hotel prostitution, and cinema houses, and falsely, in every dealing, even in their own, And they want at the same time to drive out corruption from the state. They want the kingdom of God without God consciousness. How is it possible to adjust two contradictory matters? If we want to drive out corruption from the state, we must first of all organize society to accept the principles of religion, namely austerity, cleanliness, mercy, and truthfulness, and to make the conditions favorable, we must close all places of gambling, drinking, prostitution, and falsity. These are some of the practical lessons from the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam. And the final verse of the chapter, Maharaj Prickett, the son of Abhimanyu, is so experienced that by dint of his expert administration and patronage, it has been possible for you to perform a sacrifice such as this. And from Prabhupada's purport, Maharaj Prickett was experienced enough to drive away Kali from his field of activities and thereby make the state receptive to spiritual enlightenment. If the common people are not receptive, it is very difficult to impress upon them the necessity of spiritual enlightenment. Austerity, cleanliness, mercy, and truthfulness, the basic principles of religion, prepare the ground for the reception of advancement in spiritual knowledge. And Maharaj Prickett made this favorable condition possible. Thus the rishis of Dhammacharanya were able to perform the sacrifices for 1,000 years. In other words, without state support, no doctrines or philosophy of religious principles can progressively advance. Okay, thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Maharaj Prickett ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gaur Bhaktivinoda ki jai. Questions, comments? Yes, Prabhu. I never heard that before this moment, although I may have forgotten it. I never heard it. Maybe true, but it may not be. That mean he always was with Maharaj Prickett?
Yeah.
They're irreligious, yes. Irreligious. Because Kali only doesn't mean meat-eating, gambling, intoxication. But Kali means specifically quarrel and the dissolution of religiousness and so many other things, all the corruption, breakage of authority, disturbances of mind, the propagation of ignorance. So when Kali enters into these, he gives them more power, so to speak. He propagates their cause. If you don't eat meat, Kali will say, then you won't get protein and you'll be weak and you'll die. So therefore you eat meat and you feed your children meat from the earliest ages. Intoxication, relieve the stress. So Kali propagates, advertises that what the worst thing for a young man is celibacy, because he'll become frustrated, and he buys some scientist, some psychologist to make some test and to propagate the results. So, and in this way, Kali pulls down religiousness in society. So Kali enters into, propagates, and makes them the most wonderful things, those things that are the most degrading. It would seem that it would be hard for him to be accompanying Maharaj Prickett everywhere. And when he actually causes trouble to Maharaj Prickett, it's not through gold, it's through the Brahman. Lack of culture. Yeah, so I don't know for sure. Mataji? In? Yes. gold is? What's the pure? Nothing is pure or not pure. It depends how it's used. So when gold is used in the service of Kali, it is bad. When gold is used in the service of Krishna, it is good. That's how it's used. Like a knife. Prabhupada was very strong on this point. One time I said to Prabhupada, "We're not interested in money," something like that. And he started chastising me so strongly. Being trustworthy or trusting others? That you mean you yourself being worthy of trust? Well, see, there's two ways to look at that. One is they're not trustworthy, or so how do you make them trustworthy? You can't make anyone else trustworthy, certainly. You can't make anyone trustworthy, but if you have influence over anyone, it's yourself. So that's a good place to start. Make yourself worthy of trust. That means there's 100,000 things we could say, and that we can open it up to discussion. The first thing that comes to my mind, when someone reveals their heart to you, keep it in confidence. Maintain confidentiality. That's the first thing that came to my mind on it. Don't go on just telling everyone, because then no one will trust you anymore. Yes, more comments on this point. Practice what you preach. Yeah. But still preach. Yes, Prabhu. To break that. False propaganda is going very strongly. More comments on this. How to increase the trustworthiness. Trustworthiness? Is that the right way to... How can the devotees individually or collectively become more worthy of trust? The next one. I'll start. If we try to please Krishna, by Krishna's grace, our anattas are gradually removed, which makes us more trustworthy automatically. Yes? Yeah, which is from a purport of Srila Prabhupada. To be truthful, faithful to the vows that we took at the time of initiation. That one time someone told Prabhupada that they weren't following the principles or something like that. And Prabhupada looked at them and in an amazed, almost childlike way said, "But you promised." Something very simple like that. Integrity, keeping one's word. Yes, Prabhu. Personal honesty. Self-reflection. Yeah, know thyself. One of the qualities of a Brahman is truthfulness. Yes. Simplicity in dealings. Yes. Maharaj. Yes.
Slightly after.
Yes.
That means, and his rule was only like 30 years long.
Yes.
So we were supposed to mean that aside from him, it started, the atmosphere was protected by Maharaj Pariksit and his son Dhananjaya. But it looks like another purport probably said, well, at least we can say that Kali was kept out, at least up to the reign of Maharaj Dhananjaya.
Yes.
We just made the atmosphere correct for starting the yoga, but not for finishing it.
But at least
1,000 years is an awful lot.
Yeah.
1,000-year yoga. Kings all kept it? Are we to believe then that the kings kept Kali out pretty good up to 1,000 years?
Well, they did worse after that. What is the exact, at least to start a sacrifice such as this?
At least it was started, huh?
At least it was started. But they all...
The sacrifice was to continue for 1,000 years.
Was supposed to. So when I see something like that doesn't quite add up, or at least to my ability, I just look for what point is Prabhupada actually making in the purport. And the point that he's actually makes is that the state should support the purification by religious principles, because it doesn't work otherwise. So when I can't understand a detail, I go for the underlying principle and try to at least understand that rather than get stuck on a detail which I'm unable to understand. In other words, without state support, no doctrines of philosophy or religious principles can progressively advance. So at least I come out with that point. Because later on, or earlier on, it also says that the sacrifice wasn't working. You know, the black smoke, we're all darkened by the black smoke.
That was the first canto, first chapter.
Second, the reply, on something like that. No, it's early. In the first chapter, right? Well, second. Where is the black smoke?
Is that only in Mahabharata?
That's it, yeah. The first canto.
Okay.
Where?
I thought it was at the beginning. But anyway, you can find the verse later. We can go on to another point now. Back to truthfulness. Yes, and trustworthiness, rather, in the society of devotees. Yeah. So you want the kids, as soon as you get the children to... If you... One of the things in dealing with children, or anyone, is you have to model the behavior that you want them to adopt. So teaching becomes easy in one sense if the children will keep their words, because all you have to do is get them to promise to behave. That's all you have to do. And if they keep their words, then there's no more problem. So to do that, one has to model the proper behavior, and if you've said it, you have to do it. Keep your word. And that also certainly increases trustworthiness, yes? Yes. Be able to accept that one has made a mistake and to act to rectify the mistakes that one has committed. Thank you. 1.18.12, black smoke comes from the sacrifice. Oh yeah, yes, I remember that part now. That's an exciting part. Thank you. Trustworthiness.
The opposite side, we have to know what is the wrong to become untrustworthy.
Yes.
Then we can become attached to it.
Yes. What's wrong? Yes. So, in other words, if we think, and what makes us not trust another person, then we should know what we should not do ourselves. Okay, last. Yes. In another. Okay, so when one is pointing out a fault in another, one has to first check his motives, to see if there is affection. And then there is no problem in pointing out a fault. Like a parent's duty is to point out the fault in their children and correct them. And it's negligence of duty not to do that. So, but sometimes we can do things in a political way. That someone has, we're angry at someone, but we can't hurt them directly. So we wait till they make a fault for something else, and then we get them for that. I didn't mean to be pointing at you there. And then but really, what's in our mind and heart, whether we're conscious of it or not, is something completely different from what we tried to get them in trouble for. So that is malicious. That's political. It was from the Bhagavatam. No. And if we're in the proper position, we have to be in the proper position to point out a fault. Just like, say if a father does something wrong, and the child says, "You did this wrong, and you did this wrong." It's inappropriate, actually. Or like wives, sometimes when they want to point out the faults of their husband, usually what happens when there's a fight, the husband says, "Well, you're like this," and the wife says, "You're like that, and you're like that, and like that," and it doesn't work. But when there's the relationship is right, it has to, and if it's done carefully means in regard for the person, which means that with respect and affection, then those things can be done. But if the consciousness isn't right, then it doesn't work. Now, exactly for the technical point on karma, that if someone hits you over the head with a stick and you said he did it, does that mean you're going to have to get punished in the same way? I can't say anything else but refer to what the Bhagavatam said. But as far as reasons why one has to be careful in pointing out the faults of others and identifying the do, I mentioned two yesterday. One is you get entangled in the reactions if your consciousness isn't right, and second, you end up with that same quality. And that's a well-known psychological fact even. By meditating on the faults of others, you end up meditating on them, and what you jayato visaya pungsan sangas tesho bajayate, attachment develops, etc. Okay. Thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Thank you, Hare Krishna.